It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Last week on Forward Nation Radio,
a special show, we'll focus on the latest numbers about the economy that Trump has been bragging about for some time. What do they mean? What does it mean to our listeners? Of course, the right has just completely ignored all of the indictments and the guilty pleas when they say that nothing's come of this.
But let's not wait for the spin at all. It doesn't matter. We ought not to be people who sit at home waiting for what the news tells us.
We'll move over. Jobs reports have come out this week. And report on wages. Trump, of course, has been spending the last... How long has he been in office? The economy, I guess, doesn't run like a sports car. It runs like a Mack truck. It doesn't stop and turn on a dime. To come out and say this is the greatest numbers we've seen since a year and a half ago, it's just not particularly overwhelming. But, of course, as you pointed out, the other fun part of the Ryan tweet... is Barack Obama was the president. Just best since. Let's also understand that the latest numbers that came out regarding wages are not good at all.
Let's
be clear on that. What they are indicating is that wages, real wages, which means wages compared to inflation, buying power of wages, what the wages actually mean, have actually gone down after years of trickle-down, decades of trickle-down economics, after the architects of trickle-down economics have come out and ridiculed their own theory. Republicans are still peddling it, but the facts are in. If you give rich people more money, you will have, wait for it, richer rich people, which if you look around is exactly what's been happening. And so warehouses were loaded with these Tamagotchis that nobody could get rid of. So now if you give these manufacturers a break, more money to make Tamagotchis, will they make Tamagotchis? And the obvious answer is, of course they won't. They can't sell the ones they already have. So what are they going to do with the extra money? They're going to pocket it. This is what we've been arguing for months on this show. This is what's clearly going on with the Trump tax cuts. We've given corporations hundreds of billions of dollars, and what have they done with that money? They've pocketed it.
And now... an informative and raw discussion about the myth of trickle-down economics, part two.
Now, if you give a billionaire more money, that's not going to stimulate the economy. Billionaires don't wake up and say, oh good, now I could finally afford that car I was looking to buy because I have more money. And to the extent that billionaires are going to spend more money, it's very likely to be on overseas homes or overseas luxury goods, Italian-made yachts and things like that.
Again, stockpiling.
Which do not help the U.S. economy. So basic Keynesian economics, which is what ultimately got us out of the Great Depression, says that when you have a time where your economy is plummeting because people don't have enough money to spend, they're worried about jobs, etc., if you want to help the economy, and this, I think, is basically often as simple, at least on a macro level, as it sounds. If you want to improve the economy, you give more money and perhaps more jobs to the people who are going to spend the money. You want to lower taxes to stimulate the economy? You lower taxes on poor people and the middle class. Not rich people, because with more money, they may go buy stuff. And when they buy stuff, they empty out the warehouses. And when the warehouses get empty, what happens next? Okay, I'll do this. Companies have to make more stuff because they're running out of stuff and people want to buy it. So in order to make more stuff, what are companies going to have to do? They're going to have to hire some more workers back because now they're going to have to make more stuff. Now, once they start hiring more workers back, then people have jobs. They have more money. They've been avoiding purchases for a long time because they haven't had any money. So now that they've got some money coming in, they could use the new paycheck to buy stuff that they need. So now that people have some money or have some jobs that gives them money, they're going to start spending more money. And when they spend more money, companies are going to sell off their excess inventory, and they're going to have to finally start hiring workers back to make more stuff because people are buying it.
So then the question is, and by the way, for the listeners who don't know what a Tamagotchi is, it's basically just like a novelty, like a handheld Japanese pet. It was a digital pet that you can have that I guess has a life cycle and such. So kind of like a I don't want to call it a luxury item, but it's definitely not a necessity type of item, where the necessity type of items tend to take the hit. The luxury items and recreational items tend to take a hit first when the recession starts to go south. But why would, in knowing this, and of course it makes a lot of sense for anybody who gives it any sort of thought. So why would corporations keep perpetuating this supply side economics? The answer seems obvious to me, but maybe you...
The answer is obvious, that they just want more. The idea of supply side economics is basically just give more people more money to rich people and rich corporations. Now, why would they want this? Because no matter how much money you have, there's obviously not enough. You know, Trump tells us how much money he has all the time, whether that's true or not, who knows. But he tells us about all the billions he has. And meanwhile, right now, he's running the United States government basically as his own personal piggy bank to give him more. The Koch brothers, this was as of months ago, they were worth a combined something like $90 billion, Charles and David Koch, worth something like $90 billion. With the stock market having done well, I assume they're beyond that. And yet, they spend all this money, hundreds of millions of dollars a year, to ensure that they get more. You kind of say, at what point do you have enough? And I think the answer to that is, if you are that rich, you are probably all about money, and you don't ever have enough.
It almost becomes its own business model. If you're that rich and your business is impacted by political decisions, then it's almost like you're going to budget this stuff in to be able to affect media, to get people to think that supply side economics, that trickle down economics works, just to keep that carrot in front of them so that you can excuse your terrible behavior if you're a corporation or the Kochs or just countless amounts of these guys, just to kind of keep that going, because they know that regardless of the reality that you actually observe and ingest through your senses, regardless of that, they can get you to think contrary to reality just by keeping that message out.
Well, and this is, and you've identified the reason that they want to do this, which is basically just more and more and more for themselves. Anybody who, as you like to say, uses their eyes and their ears to look and listen at what's going on, looks at this and says, but this is absurd. This is ridiculous. But of course, most people don't. And if Fox News is your eyes and your ears and Rush Limbaugh and whatever else, you're being told this bullshit all the time. You've got the U.S. Chamber of Commerce representing the interests of big business and spending millions and millions of dollars and lobbying millions and millions more simply to convince everybody that this is benefiting them. I like to say, I've said on the show, that in the history of the world, nobody has ever called a press conference while in the middle of robbing a bank. When you are just enriching yourselves at the expense of everybody else, you just need cover. You just need this bullshit throughout the media to convince everybody that you're actually doing it for them. You convince everybody that Donald Trump is a populist. I mean, let's just sort of...
You see, that's such a great point. But you see, I think that they absolutely need to do this on the cover of Dark. But this is where we get involved. And this is something that we can do because we have the technology to go ahead and look at these guys and to look into their exploits and to make it public. If the population just stops sitting around and they become a little bit more proactive in holding these guys accountable in a very public way, in any way that, you know, of course isn't dangerous or nonviolent, but you know, through social media, through assembling, anything that you can
voting,
do through writing, through voting,
showing
absolutely.
Up and voting,
but
and
you
taking
put these
your friends
guys,
to the ballot boxes.
But you put these guys in a public light. And then they may become shrinking violets because they ultimately don't want the negative publicity, because negative publicity is probably going to hurt them where it really hurts, in their profits. Because if people start boycotting them because they're not doing the right things and people know about it, that is where some of the power returns to the middle class and to the people.
Yeah, I tend to think, you know, Damien, I tend to think that the argument about boycotts is generally, although I strongly favor them, and I obviously think people should be voting with their pocketbook way more often than they do. We've talked about this recently on the show with the civil disobedience, lack of civility, and not wanting Sarah the Huckster at your restaurant or criticizing her when she's there or something, and whether people should do that. The whole basis of conservative economics is that the market will work efficiently because people will punish businesses that do bad things. My own view is that that, for the most part, is absolutely ridiculous. It doesn't happen. People don't have this information because, of course, the corporations where we get our information, and we will go back to discussing the fill in the blanks here on media and
traditionally, it hasn't happened. These days, though, it does happen with social media. I think that's been a really big game changer. You've seen companies who've actually had to reverse what they're doing, almost everything they're doing, go very contrary. Big companies like Starbucks recently, with the trouble that they got into, with companies like Facebook, when it's public and when people are spreading it, that's when these guys backpedal, and it does force them into what was supposed to have been working, which hasn't, to your point, hasn't worked for such a long time with marketplace type of economics. But with social media, this gives, well, it gives the public direct access to information and the ability to publicize it like never before. And now that you have this voice, use it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think there certainly are some examples where this works, where an issue so captures the public imagination that it does make corporations concerned about their image and how that will affect buyers. My view generally has been that that has been the exception rather than the rule, that if you scratch the average American and say, name the last 20 products you've bought, what do you know about the company that makes them? The answer would be, I don't know anything about those 20 companies or probably the three companies that own the 20 items that I bought. But the promise of social media is what you indicate, which is hopefully that over time it will actually make corporations more accountable, will make the market work more efficiently.
From what I've seen, I'm encouraged. We'll see.
Yeah. And I, you know, unfortunately, like everything else, there's a whole lot of money out there from rich people and rich corporations to make sure that they could screw up social media like they screw up everything else. And again, we'll come back to media in next week's show because we've opened several cans of worms here that we've been touching upon for a long time and do need to address more explicitly.
A lot of snakes in that swamp.
So yeah, so to finish in the few minutes we have left to get through the basic economics, what's been going on with our country. When you are facing a recession, as we were in 2007, 2008, when companies aren't making stuff, they're laying off workers because workers aren't buying anything, you need to do something to turn that around. You need to do something to stimulate demand, to stimulate people's willingness to buy things. Now, we mentioned earlier, or I mentioned earlier, you can give tax cuts to the middle class and poor people to put more money in their pockets, money that they're liable to use to spend on stuff. But of course, the best thing that you can do is give people jobs. And one of the encouraging things in my mind as this country continues to move in opposite directions at the same time is the growing push for guaranteed jobs in America, that every able-bodied American should be guaranteed a job if he or she wants and is capable of doing one, a job that pays decently, at least minimum wage. Now, what will happen, of course, is if you start giving people jobs, invest in things like infrastructure, building roads, hire more teachers, firefighters, California, anybody. What that does is give people jobs, and that creates more spending. And that increased spending counteracts all the negative vicious cycle we're in, and that's what we need to get us out of it. That's basic Keynesian economics. Now, where have we seen that utilized? Well, that was the Obama stimulus that we have talked about at length on this show, where he cut taxes on poor people and the middle class and invested in infrastructure spending to give people jobs. Once people had more money and more jobs, the economy started climbing out of the hole. Now, this takes some time before things turn around, and that's been the last bunch of years. And that's why when Damien says this is a straight line continuing the Obama administration, this is something that actually we can point at economic policy and the difference that it made. Republicans were all against the stimulus package, but it prevented a Great Depression by helping us climb out of the hole. Now, the problem with that, and that's where we are now, at some point when your economy stimulates enough, people have enough money and enough jobs, then you start to worry about inflation. When people are buying stuff, when people are spending a lot of money, that heats up the economy. And I could illustrate this with supply and demand curves. but that heats up the economy. And at that point, people need to draw back a little bit on their spending because we're worried about rising prices and the negative impact that that has on people and the economy. And what you need to do when the economy starts heating up or has been heating up for a while and looks like it's going to overheat, is you need to slow down the economy a little bit. You need to, as the Federal Reserve has been doing, do things like raise interest rates, which increases borrowing costs, which makes large ticket items more expensive for people and cuts down on spending. So that's where we are now, but of course, cutting down on spending and fighting inflation is not what's going to make Trump's numbers look good. What he needs is for lots of jobs, et cetera, not so concerned about inflation. Republicans worry about inflation when Obama was the president, trying to cut back the economic expansion. But now that Trump is the president, they can't cut down on the economic expansion because they want to take the credit for it. Anyway, that's today's show. Thank you for joining us. Please join us in the future on Spotify. Listen to us on Spotify. Listen to us on iTunes. Find us on iTunes and Podbean. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you haven't done it yet, what are you waiting for? Please share our links if you can from our Instagram and Twitter accounts. Like us on Facebook. Share our Facebook page with your friends. And we look forward to talking to you again next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.